let's bring in Joe Bowen. He's our Maple Leafs play-by-play voice in Sportsnet. Joe, thanks so much for joining us. So the Leafs righted the ship a bit against Pittsburgh. They've got Dallas coming in. But I got a really good feeling about this team when I watched them play the way they played Saturday. And as I said, I look at that depth and I notice a guy like Thomas Plekanec. It's doing specific things that make this team better than it has been in the past.
Well, I think your point's well made, Jeff, and I think that even without Plekanec, their depth was pretty good. I think they've got a pretty good fourth-line center in someone like Frederick Gauthier, who's down in with the Marlies, that is not a bad hockey player either. But getting Plekanec is going to allow Mike Babcock to have a fluid lineup up and down from first to fourth line, depending on who's going and who's not going. And also give everybody, direct responsibilities as to what you're expected to be doing on the ice against an opponent. And it appears that opponent in the postseason is going to be the Boston Bruins. And you're right, it doesn't look like they're going to catch them as far as home ice is concerned. But having said that, they've got all of the components that are there. Now, this was a well-rested team against a Pittsburgh Penguin team, and they came out and were a little flat to start. But Frederik Andersen made some great plays and great saves, and all of a sudden they get the first goal and the light goes on and away they go. So I'm with you. I think that they have the potential to have a real good run in this postseason. And as long as they're healthy, and it looks like Matthews will be back probably sometime this week or early next, he'll have some time to tune up his game before the postseason. I'm excited about it. I think they're going to have a good run.
I look at Nazem Kadri, Joe, and I think I look at Mike Babcock's time here as a coach with the Leafs, and I think there were two players who really. I'm not going to give Mike Babcock credit for them. I think that's wrong. You got to credit the players. But I look at Nazem Kadri. I look at Morgan Rielly. And I think that in a lot of ways, when you watch them play, they are kind of a reflection of Mike Babcock's approach to the game. And they're a reflection of Mike Babcock's patience with players. Because let's face it, when Mike Babcock came in, I think a lot of us, I don't know about you, I know a lot of observers said, okay, let's, you know, the first clash is going to be with Nazem Kadri. That's going to be clash number one. But man, he's turned into a really good hockey player under Babcock. He's clearly got Babcock's confidence. I look at both of those two guys, and I think they've really, maybe more than anybody else, prospered from having this guy as coach.
Well, when Nazem Kadri arrived, there was a maturity situation, and for all players that are, young players coming out of junior hockey or a brief stint with the American Hockey League Marlies, there is a maturity situation. And I think that when you talk with Nazem, that was first and foremost. Mike Babcock arrived on the scene and the maturity process had started. There had been some issues, there had been some disciplinary action, various other things. But after that, and the other thing that I think that most hockey players really look forward to is having their role well defined. Not just go out and do things and do whatever you want to do. And Mike Babcock is certainly one to do that. He defines your role. And I think one of the things that we saw, and you mentioned Morgan Rielly, was that when Mike came in, Morgan Rielly was not on the power play. Morgan Rielly, you're going to play on the first defensive pair. We want you to play defense. We want you to really hone your defensive skills. We want you to concentrate on shutting down the other team's top line. And I'm sorry, but at this particular point, you're not on the power play. Well, that has changed as well. So I think getting well-defined roles, knowing exactly what you are expected to do, accepting that, because some players don't, but accepting that role and really enjoying it. And I think that's what Nazem Kadri has done. And, he went through a long stretch without any points and goals, 20-some-odd games. And now all of a sudden he is back and hot. Obviously, and playing very, very well offensively, but his role is still the same, and he has accepted that and embraced it.
Mitch Marner was asked on Saturday what he thought was the reason for the Leafs, the establishment of home ice advantage, and I can't remember the last time the ACC has been this type of fortress, both for both teams, both for the Leafs and the Raptors. But Mitch Marner's comment was that it starts with Freddie Anderson, and that, you know, Freddie Anderson's kind of the guy. I think his quote was, every night he comes in here and stands up like a brick wall. You know, you come into the ACC, you know you're going to face the Leafs, but most importantly, you also know you're going to face Freddie Anderson. What explains this home ice advantage to you? Does it start with Freddie?
Well, you know, it's an interesting situation because I would not say that the ACC crowd is a rabid, intimidating kind of a group. They are a reactionary crowd that reacts to how the team does rather than being a proactive crowd that gets things revved up and everything else. And that's just the way it is. In the postseason, it's different. People get a little more proactive than maybe reactive. But having said that, I think one thing that this team has done, and obviously Frederick Anderson did it the other night, was give his team a chance to win. And if he lets two in the first seven shots, and when they were being outshot 7-1, that game is a lot different. But he has given his team an opportunity to win virtually every night that he's played, save maybe one or two. And that's the kind of goaltending that you need in this league. And that's the kind of goaltending that makes great teams and it makes great coaches. So having said that, Frederick Anderson is, I think, this team's most valuable player because on every given night, he has given them a chance to win, and their offense and their youth and their depth and everything else then can come into play. But if he lets in three or four, I don't care what you're talking about, depth and coaching and everything else, it's gone out the window. So it's a strange position to play. You can't do anything positive. You can only do something negative. And so you have to have that kind of goaltending in order to be successful. And the Maple Leafs are blessed to have him and be able to do that on a regular night. And the other guy, Curtis McIlhenny, hasn't been a slouch either. He's got better stats, you know, save percentage, goals against average than Anderson. So when he has had a chance to play, and looks like he'll get another opportunity this week with back-to-back games, he's been pretty good too. So the Leafs goaltending tandem has been excellent this year. They may not win the Vezina and they may not win some extra laurels, but they're certainly well-received in the dressing room and appreciated.
So we are here on what, March 12th? I'll ask you a question, Joe. You've seen a lot of hockey. You've called a lot of hockey. Do you know what goaltender interference is?
Not a clue. You know,
have you been told that you can't?
You know what I do, Jeff?
Have you been told you can't talk about it?
No, I haven't been told anything. I wish I would. Here's what I want done. Every night when there is a either a video review on a goal or something, we get a little text from the war room. Mm-hmm. The puck was batted into the net with a high stick. No goal. Okay, great. Now, when we get the goaltender interference thing, it's goal disallowed, goaltender interference, or goal was allowed, no goaltender interference. I want some intern to be in that war room to type out four more lines. Why? Just explain the thought process that has gone on in the discussion with the referee and the war room as to why it is goaltender interference, why it isn't goaltender interference, other than just having those very short, terse goaltender interference, no goaltender. We need to know. And if nothing else, I want to be able to tell our listeners why.
Right.
Because right now, I don't know why.
Yeah.
I mean, the other night, I said to Jim, I said, you got a coin? Flip it.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea because I don't. No one does. And that's the most frustrating part about it. And it's gone on, I suppose, in the National Football League with catch or no catch to the same degree because you as soon as it happens, I look at Jimmy. Jimmy looks at me. We kind of shrug our shoulders. We got to talk about this for about, you know, 4 or 5 minutes while they decide. But I have no idea how the decision-making process is going and why it is or why it isn't.
Tell you what, I just, I close my eyes and I just shudder at what might happen in the playoffs, given the way playoff hockey goes. Oh, my God.
Yeah, but that was a good goal.
Yeah.
That was a great play.
I thought it was a goal, absolutely.
And a couple of nights earlier in Buffalo, he got slew-footed, and he had the goal counted. So, again, I can't answer, and I wish the National Hockey League would be more forthcoming with some sort of a description as to what the thought process was, why it wasn't, or why it was, just so that we can also, you know, and we don't have to be upset by it. We just want to know why, and give us some more ammunition to at least tell the listeners why it was or why it wasn't goaltender interference. Because at this particular point, we don't know what the thought process is.